paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
720 WGN. There's drums and Rebecca Fife. Fife and drums, though. I always love doing that. Good evening, Rebecca. How are your pests? Are they good?
Well, yesterday was an incredibly eventful day in climate history in Chicago at 65 degrees. It was a century-old record for the warmest February 16th in history, and the ants got the message, and they went marching.
Yeah. This is Rebecca Fife, by the way, Director of Research at Landmark Pest Management, and we love talking to her when the need arises and the need has arisen, because we are on the cusp of spring, and here come, well, I don't know, you mentioned ants. Why don't we start there?
Sounds good. Well, spring sprung yesterday. Yeah. At least the ants think it did. And our phones were blowing up all day today.
Really?
And the ants were everywhere. The ants were on the kitchen counters. The ants were coming in the cracks in the foundation under people's patio doors. They were, they were where the pet food is. We got a lot of calls saying, I opened my pet food drawer in the kitchen and it's full of ants. So yes, the ants went crazy yesterday and continued a day of very high activity today, which means that it will be an early and intense ant season.
How long does an ant season usually last?
All the way through of early next winter. And
of course,
fashion way of treating ants, your grandparents' pest control. And just like you don't want your grandparents' dental care,
that's
always my thought when I'm sitting in a dentist chair, is thank goodness I exist in 2026 and not 1926 or 1826.
18,
But you don't want your grandparents' pest control either, because the way that, you know, if your grandparents had ants, the way it would be treated is someone would come in with a big gleaming sprayer tank and they would spray a pesticide all over the baseboard and make every surface toxic.
What a way to go.
What do you imagine happens with that pesticidal, you know, residue that the residue as it dries?
Sure. Yeah. Not good.
Flakes off. No, not good at all. Flakes off, becomes a dust, gets taken up into your HVAC system, redeposits on your cutting board and your countertops and your clothing and your coffee mug. And pretty soon we're living with increasing concentrations of a pesticidal dust in our home.
So instead of that, what do we do?
So the modern way to do pest control is to use products that have such a low toxicity that rather than an ant walking across it and seizing up because it's so toxic, it's immediately affected and kills every ant that comes in contact with it. It's so low toxicity and non-repellent and undetectable to ants that they walk through it and they go all the way back to their colony and they groom themselves and each other.
Yes. And spread it.
And they spread it. And it gets to their queen, and it collapses the whole colony. It kills the ant colony.
Wow. What a great product.
It is a great product. And it does it in a way that is safe for pollinators, because it's not being broadly applied. It's a targeted bait gel. So it basically uses the science of the way the ants breed and feed and live to control them in a way that's much greener and much safer for humans and pets and pollinators and the environment.
Very, very crafty. We're going to do more with Rebecca Fife when we come back on 720 WGN. Oh, the sound of spring is in the air, sort of. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Rebecca Fife, Director of Research of Landmark Pest Management, talking about spring. Talking about what happens to things like, you know, ants, which we just spent some time talking about. We still have skunks. We have bats. We have mice. Wherever you want to go, we go. Where do you want to go, Rebecca?
Let's talk about skunks.
Good evening and welcome to Skunk Talk. She's Rebecca and I'm John. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we start to get telephone calls in February that tell us that people smell skunk spray, but not a ton of it, just little bits. And frequently, you can imagine, you know, when you walk through the perfume aisle, the perfume department, the person who mists you, just a little puff here and there.
Yeah.
And it drives homeowners crazy because they don't understand it. They say, is there a dead skunk? What is this constant, frequent, you know, smell that we're smelling, but it's never like a really big one? And they say, do you understand what I mean? And I say, yes, the males are making pests of themselves. Skunks breed in February. And this is a female saying, back off. You're not the skunk for me. So the males want to mate.
Yes.
And the females are indicating that they're not receptive, either in general or to that particular male. Maybe he's too young. Maybe he doesn't have his stuff together yet, or just isn't the skunk for her. So this is
right. The
female skunks telling the males to back off for the most part.
Later, skunky. So the result of that is... fewer skunks?
Early May, early May to early June, and I have a mnemonic device to remember when skunks are born. It's skunk spray early May, but we're not talking about spraying, we're talking about giving birth.
Got it.
That's how I recall that one. Early May to early June is when the skunk pups arrive, and a couple remarkable things about skunks. Skunk populations are increasing very rapidly in the Chicagoland suburbs, and the reason is... twofold. First, skunks have the largest litter size of any medium-sized carnivore in our region. They give birth to 9 to 11 pups per litter, and that's very large. If you compare raccoons with 3 to 4 pups per litter, that is really quite high. And then the other thing is they have few natural predators. So, you know, for obvious reasons, which is they stink and their spray that they expel burns the eyes. You know, only our dumb dogs will stumble into that again and again. The creatures that may wish to eat them don't. So owls are a natural predator for skunks because they don't, you know, mind that smell, but there's really not enough owls to keep the skunk population in check. So because they have more young and because they have this incredible defense mechanism, skunks have really high survival rates among their offspring, and that's why their populations are climbing very steadily and why our skunk complaints increase year over year.
So how do you respond? How do you respond to the skunk? What's your plan of attack?
Well, if a skunk is denning on your property, meaning it's living under your stoop or deck or shed, then we will remove it by trapping it and sealing the hole through which it's entering to prevent skunks from digging. They're really fantastic diggers, and we can install underground fencing to prevent skunks from being able to re-enter in those skunk-prone areas. So if you get them under your stoop every year because there's a high population in your neighborhood, it's very possible to, you know, install some underground fencing around that stoop so that you're one and done and you don't have to deal with it year over year.
Okay, bats. Did I ever tell you my bat story? I might have.
Tell me your bat story.
Okay. My grandfather, William J. Records, had a farm down outside of Franklin, Indiana. This is a long time ago. And apparently bats built a nest, I'll never forget this, in the upper right-hand corner of the, between the, inside the roof that connected to the house. So you got the house, you got the roof, and at the intersection of those two, you got this bat nest. And my grandfather had a very unique way of dealing with that. He got out a shotgun and blew it to bits. So guess what? No bats. But I don't suggest that.
Your grandfather was the original do-it-yourselfer.
Maybe. What do you do?
Well, all bats are protected. So.
Oh, that's right.
We can't blast them. So instead, what science has developed is a way to exclude the bat colony without harming the bats. So we install one-way doors called excluders that allow the bats to exit but not re-enter. And these are very simple devices. If you want to look one up, there's a brand called Bat Cone, which is just the angle of the cone. It's broader at the entry point and narrower, you know, out in the open. They fly out, but then they can't quite figure out how to land on it and get back in. So pretty simple. Others have one-way doors where a little flap lets them out, but then they can't actuate the flap to get back in. And the important thing about bat colony exclusion is it should not be undertaken by an amateur. It requires certified personnel to do it for a number of reasons. First, bat guano is one of the best fertilizers in the world. And, you know, plants and other agricultural products grow very well in it. But there's something very toxic that also grows well in it. It's a spore, a fungal lung disease called histoplasmosis grows in that super rich environment. So anyone who has a bat colony, that property needs to be evaluated to see if histoplasmosis is likely to grow in the void space. And if it is, if there's an attic full of bat guano and moisture, it means that that needs to be remediated by a professional to prevent those dangerous fungal spores from being present.
God knows you need a professional because that's you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we're very careful with that and take it very seriously. Another reason why bat colony exclusion needs to be undertaken by a professional is if you put that one-way door where the bats are entering and exiting and the bats go out, if you haven't done a very precise inspection to find everywhere they could re-enter, they're just going to move over 6 feet and come back in. So it's a lot of precision is required where you're placing ladders or lifts or scaffolding around the entire structure to see if there's a hole large enough to get your thumb in. That's how big a bats need to enter. So it requires a very comprehensive structural inspection and sealing plan to keep them from being able to re-enter once they go out the one-way door.
Okay, in the time left, let's talk about mice.
Absolutely. So a lot of people call and they say, we have mice getting in, but it's warming up. It's about to be spring or in the middle of the summer. I can't believe I have mice in the middle of the summer. Don't you see them in the winter when it's cold and they're coming inside? And yes, we see a slight increase of, you know, mice reported in the fall as the weather is getting colder, but it's very slight. Mice are very active throughout the entire year. And we get calls about mice every day. So if you are experiencing mice in the spring or the summer or, you know, any time of year, it needs to be taken just as seriously because one pregnant mouse can become 56 mice.
Really?
Quick time, yes.
How much time? How quickly?
So, you know, within a year, they can, get to a very large
population. So there is but it's not like, you know, next week you're going to have 50 new mice.
No, they breed like every 6 weeks or so, but once they deliver their young, they're ready to copulate 24 hours. Within an hour later. So they're pregnant very quickly once they, that litter.
I didn't realize that the male mouse has such stamina. My goodness.
He indeed does.
Little fella. You never knew you had it in you. what do we have to do? I got a note here. Fun fact, it is estimated that rodents start 25% of all fires attributed to unknown causes. How can they do that?
Well, they're very attracted to grasses, and they cut grasses, and they create nests out of grasses because they like that cushioning, and they like to raise their young in that. And what in your home looks like grasses that they might be cutting with their teeth? wiring, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And people tell us, well, all of my wiring is in conduit. Well, no, it's not. There's wiring where your attic fan connects, where, you know, those contacts are. There's exposed wiring all the time. It's not all in conduit, even if most of it is in conduit. There's always some that's not. And we find colorful bits of wire tucked in mouse nesting in people's homes every day, where people say, my attic light is not working, my attic fan stopped working. And, you know, while we're inspecting for other things, we incidentally notice that, the electric wires are frayed by either mice or squirrels that chew right through them.
Rebecca Fife, Director of Research at Landmark Pest Management. You've probably learned a lot in the last half hour and probably have more questions or maybe even want to employ this fine organization. How do people get a hold of you, Rebecca?
Find us on the web at landmarkpest.com. That's landmarkpest.com.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. Be safe out there. All right.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.